This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar, and in studio with me is Noel Lim and Philip C. Good morning, Noel, Philip. We are going to recap how markets ended trading on Wednesday.
Yeah, so US markets, Dow was down 0.2%, S&P was down 0.1%, and Nasdaq was down 0.6%. Right. Over across at Asia, Hang Seng was down 0.1%, Shanghai down marginally 0.04%, STI negative territory 1.3%, Nikkei up 0.9%, and boohoo, FBM KLCI up 0.9%, 15982 more points to 1,600.
There we go. FBM KLCI going zig where everyone goes zag. So to make sense of what's moving markets, we speak to Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank. Good morning, Vishnu. Happy Thursday. Thanks for joining us today. Let's start with North America. So will the expiration of U.S. job benefits this week have adverse impacts for U.S. economic recovery, especially in light of last Friday's underwhelming payroll numbers?
Good morning, Shazana. I think the caveat is I probably won't make sense of it anyway, but nothing's stopping me trying. So here's the thing. The expiring job benefits, I think, will be a little bit of concern. To some extent, markets are pricing in the concern from the consumer pullback that we have already started to see. So the jobs softening could also weigh in. And there's one more factor, which is the earlier fiscal stimulus, which had come through and boosted household savings. Those have been drawn down to a large extent as well. So the so-called buffer the consumers could dip into is also now a lot less significant. So for these reasons, I think the moderating pace of recovery will be something that will be gauged fairly closely. But I think for markets which are looking at binary risks, their question will be whether this gets in the way of taper or not, and what it means for the timing of taper.
Moving over to Europe, what are your expectations of the ECB meeting today?
I think I'm with the crowd in that we expect a very calibrated reduction in the PEPP, the bond purchases for aimed at COVID pandemic. But despite that, I think the ECB will try to do a RBA insofar that they will try to frame this taper, very calibrated taper, as a dovish taper. And I think that can be done either first, really calibrating it down from 80 billion euros per month to something like 70 rather than 50. And the expectations are in the ballpark of 60 to 70. That's one. The other, they could also say that, look, PEPP may expire with COVID, the exit from COVID, but they have other programs to provide sufficient liquidity. And probably President Lagarde will also frame the new economic forecast with the requisite downside risks attached to them. So those are the things we want to watch for.
Vishnu, we are seeing localized setbacks throughout ASEAN, right? With countries like Thailand and Vietnam struggling to reopen and get their economies back on track. What's your time frame for seeing a rebound in this region?
I think, of course, I've yet to attain any kind of clarity on this, like everyone else. But fingers crossed that as the vaccination rates go higher and ASEAN is lagging overall when we look at the global averages, it does look like an emphatic recovery would come in two stages. One would be where we can get closer to vaccinations being high enough to resume activity with fewer interruptions. That would probably come through very late this year or maybe in Q1 next year. But even then, I think that to get enough of that and confidence around that to resume things like travel and tourism in the region, that could be pushed out to the middle or maybe even Q3 of next year. So the full economic recovery may be pushed out into the second half of 2022 rather than much earlier.
Let's zero in on Singapore, Vishnu. Singapore itself is now facing a serious resurgence in the number of virus cases. What will economic recovery for the whole economy look like now that it's going through this sudden development?
It still looks like it's going to be a little bit bumpy around the edges. I don't think it's going to set back the growth forecast in the 6 to 7% ballpark. But that already was flattened by a low base effect. So the thing here is, the confluence of you know, COVID resurgence and lingering China risks through the financial markets probably suggests that the upside surprises are going to be very limited, and the recovery for the second half is going to be a half-hearted one. There would be patches of strength, however, and those will maybe in very idiosyncratic places like the property market, which defies what's happening in the real economy.
The Singapore dollar was strengthening against the US dollar, but has recently reversed the trend. At what level would the MAS start to become concerned about the currency's movements?
I mean, that's a good question. And I think, to be clear, the MAS only expresses concerns on the trade-weighted Singapore dollar. And on that measure, our estimate of it, and of course the MAS doesn't reveal its own model, our estimate suggests that it's on the, in the upper half of the trading band, between the middle and the upper half, which is to say that the Singapore dollar has to underperform its trading partners by more than two percentage points before the MAS gets concerned. So in other words, insofar that Sing dollar only tracks the broad-based dollar dollar strength and weakens against the broad-based dollar strength, the MAS will not step in.
Vishnu, thanks as always for speaking with us. That was Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank, giving us a lay of the land in terms of ASEAN economic recovery.
I found his point about the two-step recovery in ASEAN interesting. You know, he couldn't make a commitment about how the recovery was like, but I liked his point about it being two-phased, where the first phase is where, you know, people start opening up as vaccinations come getting through, but it's still half-hearted, not really fully confident. But when you get confidence in, then you see something going back to kind of normalcy in mid next year, quarter three next year. So I think the strategy is, how fast can we move that from mid-quarter three to perhaps quarter two, right, for our respective economies?
That is true. That is true. So that's something that we'll be continuing to discuss. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.